thing that the Lord has made it able for us to be here with you. I miss Mrs. Sarah. When we came, it seems that she had such a warming smile, such an air about herself that was so loving and caring. You could see the work of Jesus Christ in her. We miss those that are gone. But we know that they're in the arms of our loving Savior. Had a wonderful drive up here this morning. And like the seasons changing. Think of the scriptures that Apostle Paul wrote to us in the Ephesians letter, which said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings heavenly places in Christ." I feel like I'm in a heavenly place. Those that love the Lord, with those that are thinking upon the good things, with those that know that there is an everlasting kingdom, for those that we love and that we can look forward to. The second epistle of Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes to us in the first chapter, in the third verse, he said, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." If we have any comfort at all in this world, it is from our Heavenly Father above and the Spirit that is within us. The God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So we know that God is in charge. We know that God is in control. We know that He loves us dearly. We know that He takes care of each and every one of us into that everlasting kingdom above. Even throughout this life, on a daily basis, when we look at God, our Father in heaven, we feel the love of God and the comfort that He gives us, the comfort that He puts in our hearts. Notice He says that in this comfort, we comfort others. It's not ourselves that are comforting others, but it's the love of God that works within our hearts. There is a scripture over in the book of Isaiah. I believe it's the 60th chapter. That Isaiah tells us about this wonder of God and the goodness of God and the light of God. In the first verse of the 60th chapter of Isaiah, he says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee." We have such a wonderful God that we can feel His presence, that we can see His almighty presence in our daily lives, that we can see all of nature that He created for us, that we can see the good things of life. He says, "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee." We can see the glory of the Lord in those that we come together in fellowship with. It's a precious, precious thing. "And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see." We need to look at things a little higher than this world. All the good things come from God above. All goodness is in Him. It's not in ourselves. We are of a wicked nature. But God, in His goodness, leads us to repentance, to see the good things in life. "And they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side." Going into the down to the 19th verse, it says, "The sun shall be no more thy light by day." Think of that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. And He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And that was not the sun nor the moon. But it was the light and the purpose of God that we see here. "The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee. But the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended." That light is the Lamb of God. The light is Jesus Christ. He says, "Thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my plantings, the work of my hand, that I may be glorified." That's our purpose in this life, to glorify God. "A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time." In the 61st chapter, he goes on and says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." Have you ever felt the Spirit of God upon you? It's a powerful force. It's a wonderful thing. It's a thing that makes you look just a little bit higher. It makes you think a little bit better. It makes you see the wonders of His creation. Makes you see the love that He spreads abound to one another, from one another, with working in your heart. He says, "Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." This is Jesus. He's talking to you out of the New Testament. "Good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted." If you have a broken heart, Jesus Christ, the light, will mend your broken heart. He says, "To proclaim liberty to the captives." We were at one time captive to sin and sorrow, and what Jesus Christ has done, died for us in a wonderful, wonderful way that we can see the good things in life. And the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, and oil for joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. It's such a wonderful thing that we see in God's ways. I'd like to go to the 40th chapter of Isaiah. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for her sins. Think of what Jesus Christ has done for us. He died, He came to die for the sins of His people. Your sins are pardoned. You are completely reconciled to God because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Excuse me. He says, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. You not only have your sins completely forgiven, but you have Jesus Christ in this life. One that we can follow and see and understand what is goodness, how to walk in this life. It's such a precious thing that we have that wonderful Savior in our life. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the ways of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Just exactly what John the Baptist came preaching. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. Think about the power of your God that can do these things in your life, that can make the crooked ways straight. He says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. He has told us these things. The voice saith, cry, and he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness therefore is as the flower of the field. Eighth verse. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. We have an everlasting kingdom to look forward to, my dear brothers and sisters. This old body is going to fade. It's going to fade. We're going to pass on, but we're going to a place that's so much better than what we have here today. But in knowing that, it's a wonderful thing that God has shown these things unto us. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. If you look towards God in all that you do, if you lean not on your own understanding, but look toward Him, things are going to be fine within you. All things are fine with my soul. It's a wonderful thing that we have. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. Listen to what he says here. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Think on the good things that God has promised us. Think of the things that Jesus Christ has told us as he walked this life. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carrying them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Think about the power of our Lord God above. He has spoke all things into existence. What you have and what you see is all of God and given to you because he loves you with an everlasting love. He loves you so much. God first loved us, then we loved him. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? He's in charge, brothers and sisters. With whom took he counsel? Excuse me. And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? He shows us. We don't show him. We don't lean to our own natural understanding. Our carnal mind is enmity against God. Let him know that you are following his love. He is a jealous God. He loves you with an everlasting love. 29th verse, and I'll try to get out of the way. He giveth power to the faint. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. You ever felt like you have no might? Every day I get up, I feel that I have no might in this life. And I look at the things of this world and how evil sometimes the world is and the way they act and the way that I am and the way that I act. It's God that worketh in you to will and do of his good pleasure. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. We cannot make it in this life without the Spirit of God within us. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Think upon the Lord. Think about the good things. We don't think about the negative things in this life that we seem to have that keeps coming up in our minds. And we think about the things that's all about ourselves. We need to think about one another. We need to comfort one another. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. If you have the Lord with you, you have a strength that's beyond compare. We don't have our own strength within us. It is all coming from God. Jesus proclaims, without me, you can do nothing. I believe that, brothers and sisters. And I know when the Lord works in us and works in you, you can comfort those with that love of God that works in you and through you to one another. I felt so comforted so many times when I came here to this little church. And Sister Farah would come and give me a hug and look at me with that big, wide smile. I felt comforted from her. Even today, I feel comforted from her because what God had given her and that God had worked in her to spread that comfort to one another. She is in a place now that is way abundantly higher than we can even imagine. It is a wonderful thing that we have such a God that loves us so dearly, that works in us and gives us that abundant life. It's a precious, precious thing. What would we do without the love of God? How would we face death in this life without God? But with God, we have all things. With God, all things are possible. We can take the most evil, sinful thought and throw it out and think upon the good things. Think about the things of God. He's all good. It's a wonderful thing that we have such a wonderful God. Thank you for your time. Good to be with you today.
Enjoyed the service thus far. I thank the Lord for the preaching and what we have heard. I'm not intending to stand before you but for just a minute. I have one passage of scripture I'd just like to share with you briefly this morning. I feel like the Lord certainly has given us words of comfort from His Word, and that's what the Word of God does for God's little children. It doesn't make children of God, but it surely comforts God's little children. Edifies them and encourages them. And I feel like we're all in that spot this morning where we need that wonderful truth shared with us once again. Things Brother Darrell said were not new to us, but things we've heard many times over and over again. But isn't it good to be reminded one more time of the wonderful truth of a sovereign, awesome, powerful God who is in absolute control that we can look to in the midst of whatever's going on in their life, and know that He will supply to us the things that we stand in need of. As we lean upon Him and trust in Him, He'll give us the ability to stand, even when we know in ourselves there's no strength at all. The Apostle Paul said we have the sentence of death in ourselves, and that is what our answer is. That's really the only thing we have when we look to ourselves. We don't have the answer. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul." You need rest this morning? I certainly do. And do you need comfort today? I certainly do, and I know you do. We go to the Lord, and that's who Brother Darrell preached to us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Power and His might, His glory, and all that He is. The one who give us the oil of joy for morning. And I just pray that He'll continue to bless us through our difficult times in our life. He will not fail us. You can count on Him. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me. I just want to read a passage in hearing that we've read many times before that I think is so good for God's children to remember. Always. If you have your Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'd like to read to you beginning right at verse 13. We'll read down to the end of this chapter, which is verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Apostle Paul writing here says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 18, he says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. The words we've heard this morning comforted us. And the words that are written here by the Apostle Paul certainly serve to comfort God's little children, especially when it comes to time where we face in our lives our own passing or the passing of a loved one. It can be such a fearful, frightful thing to men and women that do not know the truth as it is in Christ. So the Apostle Paul was wanting to make sure and is giving, by inspiration of God, us instruction here that we might know the truth about our loved ones that passed. And that's important for us to know. We want to know about what's taking place. He says, I would not have you to be ignorant. That word means lacking knowledge, lacking understanding. Brethren, talking to God's little children, concerning them which are asleep. The Bible talks about the death of God's little children as asleep. The reason it's talked about as asleep is because sleep's not really a bad thing. Sleep's a good thing. When you're tired and when you're weary, there's nothing better than some sleep, some rest. For God's little children, when this old world gets weary and it gets difficult, even though it's hard for those that are around them, and even though they themselves at times would want to hold on to life, the Apostle Paul said he was torn betwixt two. He had the desire to be with the Lord, which was far better, but he also had the desire to remain, to be with God, to be with those he loved, and those of God's children here in this world. But the Lord is the one who's in control of all that, and despite what men might say, it's in the hands of God. Unto God belongs the issues of life and death. And there's a time and a purpose for everything in heaven, a time to live, a time to die. When the Lord sees fit to call us out of this old troubled world, we leave this world. For God's little children, according to the scriptures, the Apostle Paul, Psalmist David wrote, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll feel no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even at the moment of death for a little child of God, I believe just as Stephen, when he was being stoned, was relieved from the burden of life at that point to be carried home to be with the Lord. He saw heaven open and Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. And I believe it was a glorious, glorious time. Some might even say the best day of his life was that day, because there he saw his Lord like he'd never seen him before. He saw him standing to receive one of his little children home. Here we have, if I would not to have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. The Lord would not have us to be sorrowing, even though that doesn't mean we're not to cry and have some burdens in our heart, but not that we would be overcome with grief and overcome with sorrow as those who have no hope. Because remember this, though our loved ones are gone, they're not gone completely. Though we're separated for a little while, we're not separated. We're looking forward to a day of a reunion, a gathering together again, of seeing one another again. Though we're going to be separated a little while, there's going to be a time where we see one another and know one another in a way where we've never really in a more deep love and a more deeper way than we've ever known one another. Above everything, our loved ones are now looking at our glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and one day we'll see him as he is, and if you really know what heaven's going to be, seeing Jesus is going to be what heaven's all about, just seeing him. He says, I would not you have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. He's talking about death here. He's not just talking about sleeping naturally. He's talking about when the body goes to sleep, and the body is what goes to sleep. The soul and the spirit doesn't go to sleep. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So immediately at the moment of death, the soul and spirit goes into the presence of the Lord. That doesn't sound too bad, does it? To be carried into the presence of the Lord. To be carried into a loving Savior who loved us so much he died for us on the cross. to be able to see him and understand and know all that he's done for you in your life. Can you imagine how good God has really been to us? We see some of the things that he's done for us, but how many things don't we even have a clue about? Sometimes I think about how I'm running up and down the road just complaining about the things that just gets in my way and slows me down. I want to get there faster, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. And in the very midst of that, I wonder how many times I'm sitting there complaining about the blessings of Almighty God that made me slow down for that moment and that time to watch over me and protect me along the way. Sometimes he lets us see that. I dare say that all of us can think of a time we thought we should have been somewhere, and if we'd have been where we thought we were, things would have been much worse for us. But God slowed us up, and he protected us. You know he's doing that all the time? You know he's done that from the time we were in our mother's womb? You know there's never been a moment for God's little children that his eyes have not been upon his children, that he does not know them? And today, if you love the Lord, that's an evidence that he loved you, and he's always loved you, and he will continue to love you, and he's been taking care of you when you haven't even thought about him, and I haven't thought about him. And he'll do that when it comes our time to leave this world. He will be there for us in that time, and though it may seem on the outside to be such a hard way to go, listen, Stephen was being stoned, and from the outside, did it look easy? No, it looked like a hard, hard way to die. But what did we see from Stephen and his testimony on the outside? What did Stephen say? He said, I see heaven open and Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. And even in his heart, he was able to say, Father, forgive me. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ. You think he'd be bitter against these people that are stoning me? But no, he had even a love for them. I'll tell you what, our God just... He's a wonderful, wonderful God that will provide and does provide and has provided for his children and will continue to do that. He says, even as others which have no hope. And then he goes to verse 14 and says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that means just as sure as Jesus died and rose again. That's sure, isn't it? Y'all believe Jesus died? You believe he rose again? I hope you do. It's true whether you do or not, but you ought to believe it because it is true. Jesus died, yes. He suffered a death on the cross, but he didn't stay in the grave. Listen, there's an empty tomb. There's one who rose from the dead, who walked and showed himself. Eyewitnesses saw him for some 40 days on this earth. They held him, they handled him, they ate with him, they communed with him. And then he was carried, ascended back up on high, not by some other power, but by his own power. He's ascended back up on high, and he's seated now on the right hand of the Father making intercession, except when one of his little children comes home. I believe he stands and greets. We have that testimony. Doesn't sound so bad, does it? No. Matter of fact, what a day it will be when we really get to see all of this, not just through the glass of faith, but face to face. And we know as we're known. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Now the body's in the ground. The body's here. The body's just the tabernacle of clay. It'll go back to the dust from which it was taken. But the spirit and the soul that's with the Lord is present with the Lord. And when the Lord comes again, guess what? They're coming with him. The spirit and the soul of God's little children are going to come with them because there's going to be a reuniting. A reuniting of what? The body and the soul and the spirit, that body, that soul is going to be resurrected, and it's going to be changed. Not a new body, but a changed body, and it's going to be made and fashioned like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some would say, what age is it going to be? I always answer, it's going to be the right age. I don't know what age it's going to be. I just know it's going to be right. Why? Because God's doing it. Everything he does is right. Someone says, are the babies that die, are they going to be old? I don't know. They're going to be what they're supposed to be. I know that. And I know they're there. And there's going to be you reuniting. And we're going to see them. And we're going to have fellowship with them. And it's not going to be just in a natural way. Don't get in your mind it's just going to be in a natural way. It's going to, the things we've enjoyed spiritually,
the sweet hugs, the sweet fellowship that we've enjoyed spiritually. We're going to have those things over there. And the thing that's going to overcome and overwhelm everything. Now, somebody said, well, am I going to worry about this one and that one? And will I see this, my mama or my grandmama or my daddy? I'm going to tell you, those things are going to, they're going to not be on your mind or on your concern. It's going to be my brothers and my sisters. I'm telling you, that's some love down here. I wasn't in Sister Ferris' natural family, but I sure was in the spiritual family. And she I called her sister, and she called me brother, and she was like a mama. And I had many blessings. And I can tell you, there are so many. There's for me, and where I am in life right now, there are more of them over there than there are here. And I say to you, what a day that's going to be when we get to leave this old world and all its trouble behind, and the Lord's going to come, and one day he's going to come in the air, and what a day that'll be when the Lord comes. Somebody said, I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the uppertaker. I'm looking for the Lord to come so we can bypass death, but we may not bypass death. You know, it seems like he could come any time, though, doesn't it? What a day that'll be when he does come. But until that time, listen, we tarry and we wait and we look. And when he does come, it's going to be a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. It's not going to be done in secret. It's going to be a visible coming. And every eye will see him, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. But God's little children that are asleep, they're going to be awakened, and there's going to be a reuniting of the body and the soul and the spirit. And they're going to be changed and made to fashion like unto the glorious body of the Lord of Jesus Christ. And it's going to be done so quick. It's not even a blink of the eye. It's a twinkle. Just a twinkle. How quick's a twinkle? Blinks are fast. Twinkles are faster. In the twinkling of an eye. Somebody said, do you believe God can do all that? Ooh. I heard a man one time talk about the birds that fly in the air and how you'll see a herd of them go. You know, they said, what about the disorder of all that going on, all that movement going on? Have you ever seen a flock of birds in the sky and just see them go this way, and all of a sudden they just turn and go back that way, and then they turn, and you go like, why don't they bump into each other? Who tells them? Now, do you know, how does that, I'll tell you, you know who does that. I'm going to tell you, when God calls his little children, it's good. You're talking about order. It's going to be complete and perfect order, because the God of order is doing it. And he works it. And the scripture says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, by that same power, by that same might, by that grace and that mercy of Almighty God, it says, even though them which also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Is it my opinion or your opinion is what God says? You know what I found in my life? What God says, we ought to believe it, because it's so. And it's so whether we believe it or not. But because it is so, we surely ought to believe it. He said, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, that means go before, them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Whew. Ought to make us say hallelujah, right? Praise the Lord. Makes there any trouble you're going through right now, just temporary. Just a little while. We're just here a little while. That's why for the little while we're here, let's trust him every day. Let's trust him every hour. Let's trust him every moment. Let's surrender it all to him who already has it all. Let's give to him that. Not that we can give to him anything he doesn't already have, but let us in our minds and conscience just put it all in the hands of the one who already has it all, so that you and I can come away with what? Peace, rest, and joy, and consolation, knowing what awaits us. The best waits, doesn't it? The best thing that comes. Brother Terry and I like dessert awful lot. Love the meal. But sure do like some dessert. That's why being on this Weight Watchers thing has been really tough, because I don't get too much dessert. I usually use up all the points during the meal. I don't get too many desserts. Sneak a few, still do that. You know, what we're enjoying here in this world is a great, great blessing. The fellowship we have here in this little church has been a great, great blessing. The communion with the saints. Be with my family. To pray together. To have the fellowship we've had together has been a great, great blessing. It's been like a great, great meal. But you know, the best is yet to come. Sister Farrah's enjoying that right now. Brother Norm's enjoying that right now. God's little children have gone home are enjoying that right now. We're still here, and the Lord's really good to us. But the best, do you believe this? I believe this. The best awaits us. Won't have to worry about my old back hurting. Y'all get tired of backs aching? I do. I'm sitting there on that bench trying to get comfortable, trying to listen better. And I move this way and their back talks to me and I move that way and then I'm finally getting a good place. I think, oh, I got it. I'm going to sit there a while. And it'll be good when you don't have to worry about your back aching. Leah says amen. Don't have to worry about anything. Brethren, we're already there, in a sense, because the God of heaven is with us. If we have an ache, he'll give us the ability to endure it. He can take it away. He can allow us to have the strength to handle it. And one day it's going to all be made right. You and I can count on that promise. He said, wherefore, and there is a wherefore, isn't it? Comfort one another. That means I'm supposed to remind you of this, and you're supposed to remind me of this, and we're supposed to do it over and over again. Husbands, remind your wives. Wives, remind your husbands. Children, remind your parents, and parents, tell your children. Let us not forget our God is on the throne. He has never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When you have a mind to pray, remember me. God bless you.